Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot-button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line. At the cresting of dawn, outside our window, we see the cresting of interest and also engagement with the show here at 576-7710, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. Give us a call. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
Along with Jude Hunt, Director of the Peace and Justice Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Jude, forgive me.
That's quite all right.
I was checking the emails at the same time as we were starting to see
if we heard
from Charles. But
I know you're so excited about being there live.
And you know what else I'm excited about? After the show, I'm going to go see my mom one more time, go have a cup of coffee with the bride and groom and their family, and then Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back.
you know, you asked earlier, Michael, about things that one would listen to in a car.
Mm.
I listened to Walter Isaacson's Einstein biography. It was absolutely riveting and extraordinary. And you hear the relativity theory explained about 8 times, and you finally begin to get pieces of it. And the argument
liar, pants on fire.
No, you really do. And the argument that it has with quantum mechanics. So after a while, now if I'm quizzed right now to tell you the difference, forget about
it. It's too early in the morning. Is Phil still with us?
Phil is still with us right here.
All right, Phil.
Phil is still with us, and you know what? I was remiss before, so before we continue on our topic, may I wish all of you a Lashana Tova and a happy 5775, even the rabbi, because this is for you and yours. May you all have a sweet year, and you don't have to be Jewish for me to wish you a happy Jewish New Year.
That's right.
I knew that,
That's great.
All right.
Just like Lil Levy's Brad used to say, you know, you don't have to be Jewish to love Levy's.
All right. Well, continue now with your thinking.
Well, I was gonna share with the rabbi a Jewish custom that I have abandoned, and it relates to our previous discussion of obscenity versus profanity. And it is the custom of not writing the word God.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Hebrew, we have little shorthand.
Right.
And you know that it looks like a little two-letter word, but you know that it's pronounced as one of the names that we use for God. And even then,
which is a substitute word for the name, by the way.
Right. And even then, we even have substitutes for substitutes.
Right.
To get as much distance as possible from profaning the name.
Exactly. But even in writing English, we have the custom of writing G-D.
Mm-hmm.
And I have abandoned that practice because too many people think it's the G-D word.
I didn't even think of that. Never thought of that.
No, in context, you would think that they'd maybe figure it out, or that enough people would know that it's a Jewish custom.
Mm-hmm.
And even sometimes you read that, and you're reading something, you don't know that the writer is Jewish, and then you see that and you say, "Aha! The writer is Jewish." But I've abandoned it.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you feel any anxiousness or remorse or anything?
I'm sorry?
Do you feel any anxiousness or remorse having
No. I mean, I agonized over it a little bit, but I decided that I'll have to take my chances with God. For one thing, I mean, I'm usually writing with electrons rather than ink.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I suppose people can print it out. But I also
rationalize it. It's the same principle, though. Yeah.
Yeah, but I also rationalize it. Well, see, part of it is that you're not supposed to write it in a way where it could be erased. So I suppose with electrons, you could go either way, interpret that either way.
The real question is, does it really exist outside of the dots?
Right. Yeah. Right. But in any event, I rationalize it by saying that, number one, I'm doing it for the sake of clarity. In my writing, and number two, that I figured that the more times you can invoke God in a positive way, and the more times you can put God in the conversation, the better it is. This is also why instead of saying hopefully, which of course is a misuse of that word anyway,
one of the worst. Yeah.
All right. I say God willing. Mm-hmm. And when people say, you know, are you going to be here tomorrow? I say, God willing. You know, so
you
that's
sound like
just,
Michael Zedek a little bit. There.
Phil, did you grow up?
Oh, please, don't insult
Phil,
me.
Phil, despite the fact that you never miss an opportunity to throw a little knife, did you grow up with?
Well, you deserve it. You know, you deserve it.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate your kindness.
Okay.
Did you grow up, at least you
can be sarcastic, which is the highest form of humor.
Yes. Did you grow up by any chance with Be'ezrat Hashem in the house?
I'm sorry.
You don't know the phrase. Okay. It rather than God willing, it's Be'ezrat Hashem, which is God willing is a poor translation of it. It mean with God's help.
No. There are a lot of kinahoras.
For those who don't know, a kinahora is a contraction of a phrase that without invoking the evil eye.
We need to move along, Phil, and we thank you for your call. We're also going to invite other people to any kind of religious faith tradition to say what their favorite phrases are within their traditions. We thank you for sharing generously of yours. We really do appreciate it. All right? No coasters for you.
Good.
Not ever. Bye-bye. but it is good to hear what are the phrases? What, you know, God willing, with God's help, may it be God's will. Mm-hmm. You know, Muslims always say whenever they do the name of the Prophet, blessed be he,
peace be upon him. Which, by the way, is the phrase that you would use. For example, if I were in a more traditional context of speech, my father died in 1964, and I would say, my dad, Alav HaShalom, which means upon him peace.
So, and why would you do that, Michael? Maybe that'll help me understand until a Muslim calls in this morning and tells us.
You know, guess what? Because we do.
because you do.
I mean, it's certainly an inherited tradition that in some fashion maintains there's still a vitality to the connection.
Uh-huh.
Even as one might perhaps be invoking some kind of anxiousness about afterlife condition. I doubt that part.
Nor appeasing
it's
the deity.
Praise, yeah.
Or appeasing the spirit. Okay. All right. The other thing that I love in the Jewish tradition, I use it frequently when I'll be talking about somebody who's deceased. I'll say, so-and-so of blessed memory.
Yeah.
And that I got from the Jewish tradition.
Yeah.
I don't think that I'd seen it that much or heard it that much in Christian circles.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were to talk about my dear friend Denton Roberts, I'd say Denton Roberts, a blessed memory.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a shorthand to say he's no longer living in earthly realms. So.
You know, Bob, you can actually find that phrase in the encyclicals that the popes write, because when they refer to the document of a predecessor, they'll name the predecessor, and then they'll say of blessed memory.
I will check that out. We're going to take a little bitty break real quick here, but we've got other callers coming in. 576-7710 to call, and we'll be right back after these messages.
KCMO Talk Radio is Mark Levin.
So now, if you're male and you're white and you're a senior citizen, there's something wrong with you. What is this? You should be arguing, demanding, fighting for the institution of those principles, those conservative principles that promote individual liberty, that promote wealth creation, that promote jobs and opportunity.
Weekdays 5 to 8 on KCMO Talk Radio 710. And 103.7 FM.
Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City, providing superior service and attention to detail for over 20 years. KansasCityDoor.com.
Dick Wilson here with Dave Dickens from J.C. Grayson. Retirement investments so important. Dave, what are some of the mistakes people are making?
You know, Dick, we see this one all the time. People focus on returns and not on managing risk. Mm-hmm. And it gets them into trouble every time. So what happens is when markets are going up, people tend to chase returns. Mm-hmm. And greed gets in the way. Markets turn around and go down, and then fear takes over. They realize they're overexposed, and they head for the exits. They end up buying high and selling low, exactly the opposite of what they're trying to do.
And what do you guys do for them?
By coupling the investment strategies we use with clearly understanding the client's goals, their personal risk tolerance, and their time horizon, we'll keep them off of that emotional investment roller coaster. Dick, we just released a new report called The 9 Mistakes You've Gotta Avoid. And I'd love to send that to your listeners. If they called our office at 913-317-1414 and asked for that paper, we'd send it to them.
And you're on the web at?
CoverYourAssetsKC.com.
Hey, this is Greg Knapp. And if you're looking to change your financial condition, I want you to join us at the Cumulus Media Job Fair. It's presented by PRA Health Sciences, saving lives through excellence in clinical research. Change your life. Change your career. Tuesday, October 7th at Union Station. The area's most sought-after employers will be there to accept your application. Tuesday, October the 7th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Union Station. For more information, visit kcjobfair.com. That's kcjobfair.com.
Last night, we put on an epic light show.
Yeah, we did.
The crowd loved us. We love the crowd.
Wait, but there were only four people out there.
Yeah, but did you see their four faces? All eight of their eyes lit up brighter than ours. And we're fireflies.
Yeah, we are.
Hey, that one girl, she looked like she'd never seen glow-in-the-dark like this before, and we invented glow-in-the-dark.
Yeah, we invented it.
And we're going to be out here every night rocking out our light show at a forest near you.
Woohoo!
So come check us out.
Check us out.
And bring your kid all ages show. Oh, but don't bring any of those glass jars, because they make us kind of nervous.
Yeah, and I'm super claustrophobic.
Whether you're rocking their world or they're rocking yours, some memories never fade. Come alive with the forest. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a forest near you and discover other cool things to do when you go, like fishing, biking, or even camping. Visit discovertheforest.org.
See you later!
Yeah, see you soon!
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Babies come with lots of decisions.
Cloth or disposable? Crib or bassinet?
So when it comes to protection, go with the safest, most effective choice, vaccination. Get all the recommended vaccines for your baby by age 2 to protect your child against 14 serious childhood diseases. For more reasons to vaccinate, talk to your child's doctor. Go to cdc.gov/vaccines or call 800-CDC-INFO. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-953-4036. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-953-4036. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-953-4036.
Tomcat kills up to 12 mice per bait block, faster than decon. What will we do with all of these dead mice? Tomcat presents Dead Mouse Theater, and the critics are raving. They solved my mouse problem and renewed my faith in theater. I like my mice dead, but dead mice that can act are even better. Tomcat got the mice out of my walls, onto the stage, and into my heart. Dead Mouse Theater, open to the public this fall at Tomcat.com. Tomcat. Engineered to kill. One ounce bait block based on no choice lab tests. Time for lethal dose to death.
Want to live like no one else? Listen like no one else. Dave Ramsey. Weekdays 9 to 11 on KCMO Talk Radio 710. Now at 103.7 FM.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710. And on your AM radio dial, 103.7 on your FM radio dial. Give us a call, 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Communication Church, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda. And Jude, when you cough, move the phone away from your mouth.
Okay.
Who is this?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Hi, Jude. Say who you are.
I'm Jude Hunt, Director of the Peace and Justice Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. I wasn't able to hear anything. I thought I had lost the call. So I missed the entire
intro.
Commercial
okay.
Break.
All right.
So I don't know if. So I'm back now. I don't know what happened. But
you didn't buy a vacuum cleaner, huh?
I did not, no.
I don't think that was one of our sponsors. But
so I apologize if you heard any coughing.
No.
Yeah, just you're very close to the microphone for your phone, and it's pretty disruptive.
But sorry.
That's all right. We're going to go to John, wants to talk about the Lord's name in vain.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Morning.
I think that guy had it a little backwards, and you guys are right, because no matter what anybody says, if somebody says Jesus Christ or God, you know, however they want to say it, it isn't as offensive to me as if somebody says, I am more blessed than you by God. That is vanity.
I never heard that one before. Wow.
Or for instance, when I was working for the church, after I turned the church and Jesus and everything, I was driving the bus for the church. And then they started recognizing everybody up there was doing something for the church in one way or another, and they didn't call me, and I was missed. I was kind of upset.
Yeah.
And I thought about it. I was like, wait a second. I wanted to be recognized in this church for what I was doing for God. And me being upset, I was taking the Lord's name in vain.
Ah.
Like, by not being recognized up
there.
Wow. And I saw it as that, because I was like, wait a second. That's praise and glory for me, not for God. Am I driving the bus for me, the church, or for God?
Wow, that's a moment of extraordinary humility and also honesty. Way to go.
And the thing about it is, how many people pray in vain? Oh, dear God, please let me win the lottery, and I'll pray to the church with thousands or millions of dollars if I win the lottery. How many people do that all the time?
John, are you able to maintain that wisdom, that insight, or does it come and go?
Oh, well, it comes and goes, but I've been trying to figure up a prayer to win the lottery. And
buy a ticket.
So far, I've come up with nothing. I'm like, man, this is a losing battle to pray to God for the lottery. So, anyhow, no matter what somebody says, if somebody says Jesus Christ in any form, you're like, Jesus Christ, whatever. That's not taking the name in vain, but you say, you know, I'm being blessed by Jesus more than you, and I'm going to be better, and I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to be raptured before you. Oh, well, that's insane.
You know, it may be that it's not taking Christ or Jesus or any kind of deity that personage that
the you names are, we use.
The names we use for our different faith exemplars and that which we worship. It may be that it's just tacky to use those names in a less than salutatory manner. I think that sometimes expressing Jesus Christ in the moment of extraordinary pain over another person's pain or a tragedy is like unto a prayer. If you see that the tsunami has killed so many thousands or that another bomb has killed innocent civilians.
Or you see a car wreck.
Yeah. Oh, my God, is sometime. I think that I've said, oh, my God, quietly under my breath when I was at the rim of Grand Canyon. And I think that's the point of Grand Canyon. My God. It is evince from us or evoke from us that which is recognizing that God is here.
Yeah. I think the idea behind the commandments is for us to be conscious and intentional about our actions and our thoughts and our words. So when it asks us to not use the name of the Lord in vain, it's just inviting us to be conscious of what are we doing when we're invoking God's name? What is our interior disposition? What is our thought behind using the word, or any word for that matter? Is it a prayer? Is it is it flippant? You know, is it something derogatory? Mm-hmm. And I think that's really the idea behind all of the commandments,
and even if you're angry, or the other. If you're angry and you say something like that, is it righteous anger or an unrighteous anger?
Yeah,
tearing up the stuff and going through there. You know, he was thinking about God when he was saying, "And this not in God's favor," and when he
We're in the Christian tradition. We always marvel over the words of Jesus on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Did he take the Lord's name in vain? No.
Well, no, especially when you realize the fact that Jesus
or the gospel writer is putting the first line of a psalm in Jesus's mouth. And if you read the whole psalm, you know, Psalm 22, then you sort of understand that there's a deeper thing going on in the biblical text in terms of what the gospel writer is thinking about that particular event of Jesus's death.
By the way, a small footnote.
Yeah.
Presumably, Jesus' time is filled with midrashic thinking and speaking.
Yes.
And to cite a first line of a text is to invoke the whole text.
Exactly. That's right. That's my point. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. Yeah.
We thank you for your call, John. Do you have enough coasters?
Yeah, I've got plenty of coasters.
All right. Thank you for your call. And we're going to go to Ron. Ron, you want to talk about hell?
Well, I want to talk about what the Jewish religion. You know, what their belief in heaven and hell,
okay,
and how you get there.
Do you have,
hell's pretty easy if you believe in it, but the heaven part sometimes gets a little convoluted. Also, I wanted to make a comment about this taking God's name in vain.
Can you do it quickly?
I can.
Good.
I think if you take God's name in vain, it's when you kill somebody and say you did it in God's name. Mm. And I don't care if you're Muslim or Christian or who you are. If you say this is for God, you're in trouble.
Yeah, actually, Pope Francis made that very comment this week, actually, so that's a very insightful,
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Well, Don, what our caller's name is, I'm sorry?
Ron.
Ron is one of the writers for the Pope.
Ron, well, go quickly. Michael needs to respond to your question.
Mm-hmm. We were going to keep
hell.
That under the rug, by the way. So, thanks for letting that out.
So, Ron, what with regard to your question... I don't know what you know or don't know, but the first challenge of the framing of your question is Judaism is not systematic about anything that we would call belief per se. We don't have any catechismic invocations, etc. So the very framing of the question is challenging for Judaism and for a Jewish representative to respond to. However, Judaism tends to think that in the terms of getting into God's world, that our job is to get God into the world, and God's job is to take care of the rest. That is to say, if there's another world when we depart what we call existence, God will embrace us. God will take care of it. It's not our business, and there's no particular, you gotta believe this or you're done, or you gotta be in this particular community or you're done. Judaism is very uncomfortable with the idea of hell, and certainly it has nowhere do we have a notion of hell as a permanent condition.
Okay.
All right. Cool. Does that help? We thank you for your call.
It does. That's good. I like that.
And Ron, do you have enough coasters? Do you have any?
Actually, Ron, what I'd like you to do is to take some coasters and... in your next communication with the Pope, tell him this is what he needs to say, okay?
You know what? You send me the coasters, and I'll get him to
okay.
the Pope.
All right.
Hold on. We're going to take a break real quick, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Are you starting your day with the KCMO Morning Show and Greg Knapp?
The National Safety Council's annual report. They're saying 26% of all crashes are tied to cell phone use.
Hey, Greg, what happens if they say that listening to conservative talk shows, do we get rid of the radio?
Shut your mouth, Mark. Listening to conservative talk radio helps you drive. It gets your blood pressure up. Everybody! We need to mandate that people have to listen to talk radio while driving.
Greg Knapp, mornings 5 till 9 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. An unexpected volcano eruption in Japan. At least 30 hikers believed dead as a result.
250 people were initially trapped as ash poured out from Mount Ontake. Most made their way to safety, but dozens remain stranded or missing. Hundreds of police, firefighters, and military personnel have joined the mission to bring them to safety.
Sean Dilley of Sky News. A police officer shot in the arm in Ferguson, Missouri last night while chasing two suspects during a routine check at a local community center.
The officer said that he was able to get a couple shots off. We have no indication right now that either suspect was shot.
St. Louis County Police Chief John Delmar says the incident does not seem to be related to the recent Michael Brown protests. Police in Springvale, Utah, are trying to find out why five family members died in their home with no signs of foul play. A carbon monoxide test was negative. Fox News, we report, you decide.
KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
Sunshine throughout the morning and midday hours will lend toward a gorgeous end to the weekend. Even though the afternoon hours will feature a little bit more in terms of cloud cover, we're still peaking at 82 degrees. That's not too bad. Mainly clear skies tonight, low temp 61. More sunshine headed out the door tomorrow with a daytime high of 83. Actually, no threat to get wet until Tuesday night. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Jim Kosek.
Hello again, Kansas City. Joe Antall of Van Subaru. I'd like to introduce you to Marcus West, our service driveline manager here at Van Subaru. Marcus bought his wife a 2014 Subaru WRX. Then he liked it so much he ordered a 15 for himself, took it home, and she traded him cars. That's what makes a family difference at Van Subaru. Like I've said, at Van Subaru, we're Subaru enthusiasts. We drive them, our families drive them. That's what makes the Van Subaru family experience different from anything you'll find anywhere else. Marcus, can you tell us what you love most about your job?
Well, Joe, it's about the people, our customers. It really is being part of a family. I know their kids, I know their pets, and I'm honored to be able to serve them. I've had customers that I've been with from the time that they met their spouse, got married, and had kids. It truly is an amazing experience to be part of their lives and to take care of them and their Subarus.
Thanks, Marcus. You're a big part of what makes Van Subaru truly different. The Van Subaru family experience. Come see us today and let us show you how buying a car should be. Van Subaru at the Van Autoplex, just 8 minutes from downtown in I-29 and Vivian Road, or see us online at vansubaru.com. Stay tuned for more.
My grades were bad. I would like get D's and C's.
I appeared to be doing good at my school life, but if you would see me at home, it would have been a completely different story.
I mean, it was just rough focusing on school when your mother is somebody you have to take care of.
It got worse and worse and worse throughout the years.
There are students who need somebody.
They can trust someone, and it could be the first person they've ever trusted in their life.
Communities and Schools is lowering America's dropout rate by helping more than 1.3 million kids every year get whatever they need to succeed in school.
If something was going on at home, we would go just stop by Miss Liberty's office and talk to her.
Communities and Schools vouched for me when everyone else had lost hope.
You can help change the picture of education right here in your community and across the nation. Visit communitiesandschools.org.
I hear people say we can't save every kid, but I think that we can.
KCMO Talk Radio 710, now at 103.7 FM. The latest KCMO news and Fox News radio every hour, only on KCMO.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial, 103.7 on FM radio dial. We're glad that you're here. Glad that you're calling at 576-7710. And if you do, we will talk immediately. 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda. Watch this, Jude, along with
Jude Hunt, Director of the Peace and Justice Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago.
And we got a special guest out there, don't we?
And we've got Jill Grimes has called in especially this morning. Jill, good morning.
Good morning.
And the purpose of your call is to tell us about a series of lectures that's going on. Is that right?
It's a lecture for Tuesday night put on by the Christian Science Church there in Country Club Plaza, right there in Kansas City. And I'm speaking at the Brookside Room at the Marriott Hotel.
Okay. All right. Right on the plasma, right?
Right there.
All right. All right. And
the subject is healing love, never out of reach.
Healing love. You know, I'd say amen to that.
Okay.
Actually, Bob could use a story or an image for his sermon today on that topic.
Well, good. We'll take the biblical framework of the fact, the absolute fact that in Him we live and move and have our being, and how all the machinations of the human existence wants to define our location outside of being in God's love and having our being in that healing presence of divine life, divine mind itself, and locates us in an age group, locates us in stress of a job, locates us in fear or doubt. And I will build from that framework of in Him we live and move and have our being as the fact that because of that, we're never out of reach of God's presence, guidance, care, and love.
So if you don't mind my asking, I don't know you, are you in Kansas City normally, or are you visiting Kansas City? You're invited in to give this talk?
That's exactly right. I'm on the Christian Science Board of Lectureship, appointed by the headquarters of our church in Boston, Massachusetts,
right.
And I'm invited by churches throughout the world to speak on for them in a public venue, and this is what I've done for the past 4 years.
Oh, wonderful.
And been invited in to speak in Kansas City Tuesday night.
Okay, so aside from people's possible interest in the topic, and I know you'll be clear in this question and understand the spirit in which it's asked, is the intent to bring people an awareness of the distinct teachings of Christian Science such that they might want to explore further, or is it a standalone presentation as well?
It's a standalone presentation, and Christian Science has no desire. We don't proselytize. We're not interested, or I shouldn't say interested, but it's not for conversion. It's just to make people aware specifically of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, the book written by Mary Baker Eddy that Christian Science Church uses in connection side by side with the Holy Bible. And it's to make people aware of God's presence in a very real, tangible way for spiritual healing. And so that's what the Christian Science Church wants in Kansas City, wants to embrace their community, their city, in order to bring healing and spiritual answers and peace.
Does that, when you do that, invoking that, does that mean that you would then get organized into a community group to lessen tensions, to make for peace, to increase goodness, or is your vocation mostly in the Christian Science realm to pray and to hope and to will?
No. It's Christian Science is certainly fundamental is to turn to God in prayer, fundamental. But through that prayer, it's a coincidence of the human with the divine. Mm-hmm. And it is not exclusive. And there are many activist groups supported by Christian scientists all over the country and the world to become really active in their community, whether it's the homeless, whether it's for peace in other avenues. No, it's to really open thought through prayer to then listen in your own spiritual language how that is activated and blesses all mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Tell us once more, the lecture is this Tuesday
at 7 p.m. at the Brookside Room at the Marriott Hotel on Country Club Plaza. The title, Healing Love, Never Out of Reach, sponsored by the Christian Science Church right there on the plaza.
And I assume there's no charge, or is there an offer?
No charge.
No charge. Because you did call in a little bit. Are you familiar with one of the themes that's been on our show today has been invoking God's name in vain? You have any reflection on that?
What it means? Several of your callers, I like their answers, and I like how I think it is truly the misuse of the name of God, and Christian Science brings out that we build from that name as divine mind, as truth itself, as divine love itself. And any time that God's name is brought to prayer, brought to consciousness, Christian Science teaches it, it's for healing. It is not for degradation, for judgment, or condemnation. But it is for healing.
Well, thank you very much for your comments.
Jill,
we really
thank you for your call. And
you're welcome.
Again, the lecture is, again, the location and time?
Tuesday night, 7 p.m., Brookside Room, Marriott Hotel on the Country Club Plaza.
All righty.
Love, never out of reach. Thank you.
Blessings, Jill. Bye-bye. And we're going to go to Mike. Mike, you've got religion on the line.
Yes, good morning. Last week, when John Hurt had dialogue with Alan, and what's Alan's last name?
Lundy.
And they were talking about the temple when it was destroyed and not being rebuilt, and that it talked about rabbinic authority. Was rabbinic authority prior to the temple being destroyed viewed quite differently than rabbinic authority would be viewed today, and who decides who's a rabbi?
That'd be
interesting. Oh my gosh, why don't you ask an easy question? The first piece, an honest response to your question, is we can't get beyond what we have in terms of the sources and material. People speculate all the time that, you know, that, as it were, in terms of using the language that I think is very familiar to many folks steeped in New Testament thinking, that the Sadducees were principally focused around the ancient temple, the Tzadukim, as we say in Hebrew. And that they were a more conservative group that saw the temple cult as the critical way to deity. But what we call the Pharisees in English, who are, is really the predecessors of rabbinic Judaism, and certainly the kind of Judaism that most of the gospel spirit seems to suggest was in Jesus' view as well, that's where the rabbinic tradition comes from. And what were there battles over authority? You better believe there were battles over authority. What emerges, namely that the rabbinic tradition is the basis for Christianity, and it's the basis for modern contemporary Judaisms, and it's the basis out of which Islam emerges as well. What does authority mean? It means that we give to someone, either because of their expertise or because of their position, the right to make determinations that we will either respect, follow, or disagree with. So, we have the great joke in Judaism, two Jews, three opinions.
Yeah, well, this is what I was trying to bring to that equation from a New Testament perspective. In the third chapter of the Gospel of John, we see Nicodemus coming to see Jesus at night and refers to him as rabbi. And
Well, the word rabbi simply means my teacher. It's becomes the term of and ordination is the way in which it happens, in which a person of great learning lays hands and says, you are now part of me, in effect.
Well, and that's why in the third chapter, Nicodemus says, when he says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And pays quite a compliment.
Well, that would not be a requirement to be a rabbi.
But whenever somebody pays us a compliment and plays well and everything, then you would think, well, Jesus could return the compliment.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a little more difficult because he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus takes it very literally and says, well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus again says, verily, verily, I say, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit.
Okay, this is a thing that you've quoted before, and I think that it leads to a conclusion that you should just state about...
Well, the conclusion, should I know there are churches that would like to write out the red letters of Jesus, but we also would have to write out the... Did Nicodemus make that? Is that accurate that Nicodemus did see Jesus and did have this conversation with him?
Sure. That's John's perspective about Jesus.
Okay. And it would be my perspective, too. So,
and mine,
shocked.
Too. Mine, too. And mine, too, as well. Mine,
okay.
too, as well.
Then we must be born again. And what does that
mean? And again and again and again.
Well, yeah, but, you know,
is that
you
a
have to look at... No, hold on. You have to look at what's going on in that particular passage. You know, we say
can we
the
look
word,
on it after the after? I'd like to continue the conversation, but,
can
we're
you
past
hold
the
on?
Break.
Okay. Can you hold on?
Sure.
All right, Mike. Blessings to you. And I've got to take off a little early here, but let me put you. There we go. We're going to be right back after these messages. God bless.
KCMO, Kansas City's home of Michael Savage.
And you wonder why traditional societies around the world hate America, and most particularly hate with a passion American base culture. They don't want their children's minds polluted by the vermin of Hollywood who disseminate this filth throughout the world.
The Savage Nation, weekdays 2 till 5 on KCMO, Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Raising kids can be tough these days. As a parent, you've got your hands full making sure your kids have what they need to stay healthy and get the care they need when they're sick. Well, now there's help. Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program offer free or low-cost health insurance for kids and teens, all the way up to age 19. They can get regular checkups, immunizations, doctor and dentist visits, hospital care, mental health services, prescriptions, and more. Children in a family of four earning up to $47,700 a year or more may qualify. And parents may be eligible for Medicaid, too. It's a helping hand for parents with their hands full. For more information, go online to insurekidsnow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. That's 1-877-543-7669. Enrollment is open year-round, but why wait? A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
You've heard that before. You heard it on the radio. Only the radio. Hi, I'm Mitch Holthus, telling you that if you want your customers to remember your business in a similar way, go to CumulusRadio.com to learn how. You're listening right now, and so are your customers. In fact, this Cumulus Media radio station has enough potential customers listening to fill Arrowhead Stadium many times over. Go to CumulusRadio.com today and build your business. Change your business with radio.
There's been a rumor going around my school lately about a new draft, so I decided to check out the facts. Turns out, there is no draft. And if there ever was going to be one, we'd have plenty of notice. But you know what else I found out? Young men like me still need to register with Selective Service when we turn 18. Why register when there's no draft? Well, first off, it's the law. Guys have had to register for almost 60 years. Second, if you're a guy living in the U.S. and you don't register, you get shut out of important opportunities like college loans, job training, good jobs, and even a driver's license in most states. But I guess for me, I register because it's the right thing to do. Things are crazy in this world right now. And if the country ever does decide it needs me, I'm going to do my part.
Guys, register with Selective Service when you turn 18. Go to sss.gov or your local post office.
This is Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach. In Kansas, we protect the security of our elections by ensuring that only U.S. citizens can vote. All new voters registering in Kansas must provide proof of citizenship. It's easy to do with a birth certificate, passport, or one of many other documents. Take it to any registration site or mail, fax, or email it in. If you plan to register when renewing a driver's license, bring your document with you. For more information, go to gotvoterid.com or call 800-262-VOTE. Already registered Kansas voters don't need to do anything. Just don't forget to vote.
Tomcat kills up to 12 mice per bait block, faster than decon. What will we do with all of these dead mice? Tomcat presents Dead Mouse Theater, and the critics are raving. They solved my mouse problem and renewed my faith in theater. I like my mice dead, but dead mice that can act are even better. Tomcat got the mice out of my walls, onto the stage, and into my heart. Dead Mouse Theater, open to the public this fall at Tomcat.com. Tomcat. Engineered to kill. One ounce bait block based on no choice lab tests. Time for lethal dose to death.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-953-4036. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-953-4036. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-953-4036.
Greg Knapp.
Coming up Monday on the show, 7:35, KISS frontman Gene Simmons in town for his restaurant in Overland Park. We're going to talk to him about the news of the day. He's never politically correct. It's on the KCMO Morning Show.
We're back and on the air today. It's Religion on the Line. Hip, hip, hooray.
And one. And two.
Chorus line. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Religion on the Line on KCMO Talk Radio 710 AM and 103.7 FM. And Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church had to take his leave. He would go to some stuff that has to get done a little earlier than usual. I'm Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda, along with
Jude Hunts, Director of the Peace and Justice Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. And before I was rudely interrupted by the commercials, I was...
well, let me get... Should I get Mike back on?
Wait,
hold on 1 second, Jude.
Yeah.
Mike, both of you to hold for a sec, because I do want to let folks know this is our final segment, so please pick up the phone and dial 576-7710, 576-7710. Go ahead, guys.
So in the passage, the phrase, unless a man be born again, the Greek word for again that's used in the gospel is anothen. And the reason that there was a misunderstanding in the text, it's deliberate on the part of the gospel writer. Anothen does mean again, but it also means from above.
Mm.
And so when Jesus uses the phrase anothen, from above, he means from above. But Nicodemus is using the other understanding of the word again, and that's where he gets stuck, okay, in terms of his understanding. So when we talk about the word, so when the phrase is sort of banding around, being born again, that isn't really what Jesus was saying. He said we need to be born from above.
Well, that's an interesting interpretation.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Had you ever heard that one before, Mike?
Well, yes.
Okay.
I hear these all the time, but if we
but they're wrong, right?
No. What I'm saying is they're the same thing, and if we focus on if this is all there is in this journey through life, and we don't know what's on the other at the end of it, then we're missing that part for in John 3:16 that we have all seen, where they hold the sign up at the football game. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we can see that the belief is something that makes an eternal difference there, according to the
word. If that's certainly the case for Christianity, there's no doubt about that. At any rate, Mike, this is old territory. I thought Jude gave us some new stuff there, and I'm grateful. And we've got some other callers, so thank you for your call. Madeline, good morning. You've got Religion on the Line.
Oh, good morning, boys. I'm sorry I missed
a reverend, but I was going to talk about joy. That's one of my favorite words.
My goodness, this morning people have picked up on the themes. Let's
and,
go.
And mm. I love the word joy, and I use it a lot. Religion on the Line is my joy, one of my joys. My new great-grandchild that was born yesterday is a joy.
Yeah.
The Pope is a joy. I use it, and it means a lot to me. Can I give you a biblical thing for it? No. But first of all, before I get any farther, Rabbi, mea culpa, mea culpa. I forgot.
Now, Madeline. You always have. You've got so much goodwill in the bank account of a lot of people's hearts. Don't even start. Go there. Don't even go there. You are a terrific part of many people's consciousness. So I just want you to know, thank you. And I forgive me. I'm gonna run to another caller because we got a whole bunch of folks who want to get in. Okay.
Jude, I'll be in contact with you soon.
Oh, thank you, Madeline. It's great to be emailing with you now.
You just have a great day. And
thank you too.
And thank you. God bless.
Go Chiefs. God bless, darling. She is one heck of a lady. You know?
I know. Yeah. I know.
All right. We got Rick on line 1-576-7710. 576-7710. Dial the early dial off and get in. Rick, what can we talk with you about?
Well, good morning, Rabbi.
Good morning.
I just want to pass on my compliments for the show. I look forward to it every weekend to hear from you learned men, and I admire your tenacity to hang in there when in adversity with other people. And
is that a dog in the background?
Yes, that was my dog barking.
Well, the dog is seconding the motion, right?
Yeah, yes, he is. And it just really, I look forward to it every weekend. I've listened to you guys probably for about 10 years now, and every weekend I look forward to it.
Well, we look forward to your many contributions. Keep on sending those $20 bills.
I will, Rabbi, I will. And it's very enlightening the way that you guys handle, difficult callers, I guess.
Well, sometimes we don't handle them nearly as well as we might wish if our better moments and our better angels were in charge. But but we respond, and that's part of the drama of 7-second delayed radio.
Well, you do better than I would.
Well, you're kind to suggest it.
And it's just a blessing to have you all.
Well, here's what we need, Rick. First of all, thank you very much. Second, we need for you to call next time and say something nice, because you are a required recipient of a whole bunch of coasters.
But I can't
get that information to Bob, who is our delivery system. So will you please call again?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
I love the coasters. You can never have too many. There you go.
God bless. God bless.
Hey,
thank you.
God bless Bye-bye. You, gentlemen.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. John, you are going to be our last caller of the morning. Go for it.
How you gentlemen doing today?
Still pretty good.
Very good. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to give you a quick take on don't take the Lord's name in vain. Looking it up in my Hebrew dictionary.
What do you mean? What is a Hebrew dictionary? What do you mean?
Strong's Concordance.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's not a dictionary. The Concordance. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. At any rate, it has little to do, in my estimation, of the words you speak, and more like take, like you would take something, take a suitcase to a hotel. And so I think of it more as Israel was taking God's name, the one true God's name, everywhere they went. And the admonition was, show that God is holy, He's set apart, take Him in that manner. And that's how I look at it, more of along the lines of not what we say, but more along the lines of what we do.
Mm-hmm. Well, John, that's a fascinating take. I would call it a homiletical one, and that's not a negative in my view. That is taking an idea and seeing how can we understand it, embrace it, live it in real time in our own lives.
Amen.
And that music means that we're very grateful to you and that we got to get rid of you. So God bless and thank you so much for calling. Oh, you got rid of him for me, huh, Rick? At any rate, Jude, it's the irony of ironies. Here are the two Chicago elements of our show, and we're concluding the day. It's been wonderful to be with you. I look forward to seeing you up in Chicago, and I look forward to having the opportunity for all of us to get together again and wrestle and debate and learn and grow, because we have the opportunity of being able to say together,
God bless.